I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The Bible said if you're born of God, you are born an overcomer. That's what you are. That's who you are. Now, you don't have to act like it, but it's what we are in God. And like we just got through saying, I learn how to be an overcomer. If there's something that's held you down, held you back, a habit, a mistake, a sin you keep doing, something you keep falling into, it's not because you can't be free. There's something you don't know. There's something you're not doing. And so that's the thing. And sometimes it is a matter of faith. If something seems just overwhelming, like it's just too hard, like there's just no way, it's not because it's so hard. It's not hard for God at all. It's because of lack of faith. It's because of weak faith. The weaker the faith, the bigger the problem seems. The stronger the faith, the more focus on God. And the Lord actually spoke this to my heart some years ago. In a time of prayer, he said, Keith, any time that something looks too big to you, too hard for you, he said, you're not looking at me.
That's right.
Right? You're looking at the problem. You're looking at yourself. You're looking at other people. And that's why it looks overwhelming. But, oh, when you look at him and then you look at the problem, you go, oh, that ain't no deal for him, right? He can do it. He is so big. But that's what strong faith does. Strong faith is focused on God. Weak faith and fear is just focused on the problem, focused on the lack, focused on what you don't know, don't have, can't do. So that's why we don't talk about that here in Faith School. We talk about who we are, what we have, what we can do, and that builds us up. So, Father, all of us do. We agree together as touching this, asking you for the anointing, for the quickening of your Holy Spirit. You know exactly that thing, the words, the way, the ministry of the Spirit, that would help us to rise up to a new place of strength and a place to overcome once and for all things that have been habitual problems. And so we ask for that and the grace for it and the supply of the Spirit for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're going one by one, reason after reason in the Word of God. We're going reaching for a total of 30 reasons and truths from Scripture, why we are sure. Did you hear that word? Sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I know that's a big statement, but you know, really everything in redemption is that way. All the promises of God in Christ are yes. How many of them?
All.
So what about this? Yes. What about this and this and that? Yes, yes, and yes. Yeah, but what about the yes, just yes. Yeah. Every good blessing, every good thing, every good gift, every perfect gift, all of it in Christ. If it's good, it's yes. And provision is good. Having what you need is good. There's no downside to it. There's no problem with full provision. And so we've been going one by one through these reasons. We started with the Lord is my good shepherd. And the rest of that verse is, I shall not lack. Because I got the best shepherd there's ever been, I don't run out. I don't have to do without. I always have everything I need. That's what one of the translations said. So go ahead, say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I always have everything,
everything.
I need. See, he goes on then in 23rd Psalm talking about, you know, he leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. What is it? If you need water, he gets you to water. You need grass, he gets you to grass. He prepares a table before me, right? Whatever I need. I need protection. His rod and staff is there, right? Whatever I need, I got it.
Yes.
He's there.
Because
I have the best shepherd that there's ever been.
Yes.
And so there's no lack in that to see a sheep that is lost, befuddled, injured, hasn't been treated, hadn't had decent food and water, little ribs poking out, dragging a broken leg, just easy pickings for any predator. What would you think? Where's the shepherd? Right? Where's the shepherd? Oh, they have a wonderful shepherd. No, they don't. Look at the condition of the sheep, right? That tells you what kind of shepherd you got. Well, our condition is a direct reflection on our shepherd. And if we're really following him and we're really letting him do what he wants to in our life, it's going to be a good witness.
Yes.
People are going to see it and they're going to think, man, how do you do it? And you go, hey, I got the best shepherd and we're still taking applications for the flock. You want to join? And if they're smart, they will. We've gone through some of the names of God. That's our 13th reason why we are sure abundant provisions are always God's will for us all, because of the redemptive names of God. And we looked at the name Jehovah, and we're going to look at that one more as we go on, because that's where you see what we call the compound redemptive name, the God of salvation who does this, Jehovah, another word or name. And we saw that he is the God of our salvation, and he daily loads us with benefits. And we saw that he saves us by his name. We went over into Genesis 17 and looked at another name, God Almighty, or El Shaddai, or El Shaddahi, depending on who you read after. But the God who blesses you and increases you and multiplies you. Why are we talking about this? Well, there are folks who'll try to tell us that it might be God's will for us to go through hard times financially, to teach us things, to develop spiritual traits in us. I'm telling you, anything you learned in poverty, you could have learned more comfortably with your bills paid. And people say, well, yeah, but I had to hit rock bottom, you know, before I turned to God. Well, that's you being slow. You understand what I'm saying? Really? Did you have to get to that point before you would turn to God? Thank God if we do mess up and we do hit rock bottom, he'll hear our prayer.
Yes.
If we're sincere and we call on him. But don't say he made you hit rock bottom. That's the same as you saying he made me stubborn. He made me where I wouldn't listen. No, he didn't. Don't blame him for our mistakes or for the aftermath of such mistakes. It was always his will to be God Almighty.
Amen.
Right? In your life, and manifest increase and manifest blessing and multiplication. And we also talked about El Elyon, the Lord Most High, the Most High God. And we saw involved in that was even tithing, and how that your finances are wrapped up in it, in that why would you tithe? Why do you give offerings? Because you're acknowledging someone above you. You're acknowledging, I couldn't have a job. I couldn't complete a contract or a job. I couldn't get paid. I wouldn't have health or brightness of mind to get out of the bed in the morning except someone above me, and this is the one who's above all, the Most High God. And that's what Abram was saying. The Most High God got us out of that battle. He got us all alive, got us home, got our kinfolks, got our money. And so he said, here, some tithes and offerings to the Most High God. Well, there's no poverty in that. You can't see lack as his will in that. Well, going on, let's get into some of these redemptive names. This one kind of goes along with the Most High, and that is Jehovah Sabaoth, or the Lord of Hosts. The Lord of Hosts, or you can call it the Lord of Armies. There are, the scripture says, an innumerable host of angels. You know, sometimes people talk, they look up in the night sky and go, you know, wonder, is there life out there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are, who knows, millions, billions of beings that are not human. And of those are God's creation of angels. And the word angel literally means messenger. And they are God's messengers that do his bidding. And certain of them are involved in fighting and defense. And the Bible talks about that his armies, you read Revelation, the angels led by archangels overcome the enemy, overcome the devil and his bunch. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yes.
That we already know. No matter what the enemy tries to do, God is going to take care of it. He's more powerful. And he is the Lord of Hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. You see a reference of that in 1 Samuel 17:45. And this is where David met Goliath. So this is not surprising to hear that revelation here, is it? 1 Samuel 17:45. You know the story how that Goliath was a huge soldier, and he had been defying and mocking and cursing God and the people of God, and he was so fearsome nobody would go to fight him. And when David, who was just a boy, you could say, a teenager, he just came. He wasn't old enough to be in the army. And he came out there to bring some food and victuals to his brothers. And about the time he was there, here comes this big Philistine soldier, giant of a man, you know. What'd they say, 9 foot tall or something like that? You know, well, how much would he have weighed? You know, the Bible said his spear was like a beam. And another guy carried a shield. It was so big. But a warrior from his youth. But the scripture said that, David said, I'll go fight him. And he was so convinced of it himself, he convinced the king. You know, because I'm sure when he walked through the tent door and Saul saw him, he thought, are you kidding me? I mean, what is going on here? But when David started talking, they were just spellbound. And then he gets into this, I'm telling you, I faced a bear hand to hand, and God gave me victory, and I went hand to hand with a lion, grabbed him by his beard. And the whole bunch are sitting there going, can you believe this kid? And they believed it. And it convinced them, and they sent him. They let him go. That's astounding right there.
Yes.
They let him go. You know, first of all, Saul tried to put his armor on him, and he said, I can't go with this. And he just took his sling and his stones, but that's not all he had.
Right.
Come on, y'all listening? Right. He had Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts, with him. The scripture said, David said to the Philistine, 1 Samuel 17:45, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. And with any one of those, naturally speaking, he could have taken David out like that, you know. David would have probably had a hard time holding up that shield and the spear at the same time. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Oh my. Is this faith or is this faith? Yeah. This is the graphic we actually have for Faith School, that we've got David facing Goliath. And why? Because it is such a perfect example, because he's not walking by sight. He's not walking by feelings or by sight or any of that. He has faith in the God of armies, the Lord of hosts. He saw himself as backed by the Creator God and all of his angelic hosts. He's like, this ain't a fair fight. Like the prophet said, there's more that be with us than be with him. And you couldn't see them, but they were there. And when the prophet, prayed, said, open the man's eyes. And they opened his eyes, and he saw the hills full of angels and chariots of fire all round about. And he thought, whew, he's bad outnumbered, And it looked the other way. Walking by sight, you get a wrong idea. You think you're outnumbered. But when you realize the truth, the enemy's badly outnumbered. It's not even a contest. Depends on which way you look. And so he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And then you get one of the big insights into faith. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about we having the same spirit. I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. The speaking is inseparable from faith. If you don't believe it enough to say it boldly, the faith is not there. Are y'all with me? Now listen to how this young man talks. Well, he's already, he said, you come to me with that big sword and that spear and that shield, but I am coming to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. He's telling him the outcome. Yes. This ain't no question about it. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, I will smite you, and I'm going to take your head off of you. Can you get the picture? This young guy talking to this giant from across the way. I'm going to give the carcasses of the whole host of Philistines this day to the fire. Now he's going to take the whole bunch out. See, he's aware of a lot more than his 140 pounds. Huh? Come on, are y'all with me or not? He is aware. God, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, is with me. Well, who can be against you? I'm going to give the host of the Philistines the state of the fowls of the air, the wild beasts of the earth. All the earth will know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly will know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into my hands. This is how faith talks. No if, no try, no we hope, no we'll see. If you're talking like that, you're not talking faith. Why? He knows. He's sure. How'd he get that way? Fellowship with God. See, he had to have some of this in him strong before he ran after that bear. Right? Or you run from the bear. You run from the bear. And lion? Oh, dear me. A lion rears up and roars? I mean, the strongest of the strong jumps behind a rock. I mean, but he had spent time with God out there in the wilderness. with his instrument, singing to God, worshiping God, and getting to know God. And God became so real to him that when he rose up and ran after the bear, he's not running by himself. Oh, come on, y'all with me? He's not by himself. He's not by himself. Somebody said out loud, I'm not by myself.
I'm not by myself.
Didn't the Lord say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm not by myself. Well, who's with you? Well, I mean, we got a list going now, right? Who's with you? God Almighty is with me. How about that? The Most High God is with me. Jehovah is with me. Adonai is with me. And Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of God. This is an unconquerable host. There is, now we don't understand how big this is, but there is no force in the universe, no force in all existence and creation that can defeat this group. There, you know, the proverb says, there's no plan, there's no scheme, there's no weapon, nothing effective against God, against the Lord. You know, the enemy tried it. And his end is already written. And everybody that chose to follow him, it's already written. There's no victory for them. There's no possibility of victory for them. They keep trying, but it is absolute futility. Because the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of God, is with him, with us. Now notice this. Go to Malachi 3. This is the great tithing chapter. Somebody says, well, what's that got to do with this? Glad you asked. Let's read. Malachi 3. Because why are we even talking about this today? We're sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why? Because of the Lord of hosts. What's that got to do with it? Well, Malachi 3:10 says this. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat or food in my house. You know, if everybody tithed, there'd be so much money in all the churches and all the ministries. There'd be no want and no lack. That there may be food, maybe provision in my house. Should God's house be taken care of?
Yes.
Should his churches, his ministries, his things be, yes, fully funded?
Yes.
Yes. Notice what this goes along with. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. Now see, we just got through looking on yesterday's class about how that's what Abram did. His revelation of the Most High God. And that involved him tithing. Now look at this. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, says who? The Lord of hosts. Why would he use that name in connection with this? What is Lord of hosts? The Lord of the armies of God. The Lord of all the innumerable angelic hosts. What do angels have to do with tithing and provision? Anything? Anything? Well, look at here. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and there'll be full food and provision in my house, and prove me. Look and see. What I'm going to do, says the Lord of innumerable angels. Why bring that up? I'm going to open you the windows of heaven. There's a lot of angels there. And I'm going to pour you out a blessing. Who might be involved in that? And there'll not be enough room to receive it. And I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes. How's he going to do that? Who's going to be involved in that? I think there's going to be angels all in this. Come on, can you see this? Angels in heaven, angels involved in flow from heaven to earth, angels involved in flow from places on earth to you, angels stopping the devourer. And come on, can you see this? Why use the name Lord of hosts? with tithing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, you know, if it's God's will for you to be broke and not have anything, the angels can stay home. Right? There's no need in bringing up all these angels and tithing and all this thing. No, no, it's not God's will for you to be devoured, for you and I to be consumed and robbed by the enemy and all of his schemes, killing, stealing, and destroying. It's God's will for us to be so blessed that our tithe is big.
Yes.
Is that right? And we get to bring a big tithe and honor God and say, thank you, Most High God, for taking care of everything in our life. And then he says, I see you. I got you. I receive your tithe. Now, angels, get to it. Get to it. And so there is flow coming from heaven to earth. There's flow working in the earth, and there's flow against the enemy. Oh, come on, can you see this? I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Your vine will not cast its fruit before the time in the field, says the
Lord.
Who?
Lord.
Who? The Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. You will be a delightsome land, says
the Lord.
Says the Lord of hosts. Go to Hebrews 1 if you would. Can we see any provision in the names of the Lord?
Yes.
Yes, you can. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. He not only is he our protector, but he is our provider. Hebrews 1 and 13 in the New Testament says it like this. He said, to which of the angels, said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He's talking about angels are not on the same level as Jesus, the Master. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But he goes on to say, verse 14, are they not all? Talking about the angels. Are they not all of them angels, ministering spirits sent to do what?
Minister.
Sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And so is there provision? Is the will of God revealed in even angelic activity working for our abundant provision with the Lord of hosts? Hallelujah. And our time's up again. Said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.